that's a voice of a consumer, but the implicit voice of the consumer, where if someone is visiting your website and after a campaign visit the category of the product you promoted, visits a lot of other product of the same category, spend time on our website and then purchase, that's not telling you the same as someone who just click, visit one product page and purchase it.
Welcome to the State of CRM podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Ben.
And today we're going to talk about actioning the voice of the customer. And the reason that I'm saying actioning instead of listening is because although it is really important to listen, and we'll talk more about like what that means in terms of data and insights, translating that into action in terms of marketing strategy, targeting strategy, communication strategy, et cetera, is a bit of a gap that we've found in talking to marketers and actually based on some recent research that we did as well. So today we just wanted to talk a little bit around sort of the role that listening to your customer has to play in customer centricity. And the tactics that CRM marketers deploy can either enhance customer centricity as really being measured by the goodwill your customers have towards your brand and the lifetime value that they have for your company. But marketing tactics can actually erode customer centricity and customer value as well if they're deployed in ways that can actually be perceived to be irrelevant for customers or not in ways that are optimal towards the ways that they want to be communicated to. So a lot to unpack there, but really, you know, customer centricity is the major focal point today, and basically how insights and listening to your customer can help you get there.
Yeah, so Matt, we know that every marketer wants to be customer-centric and intends to be customer-centric, but in the recent survey we did distributes the report of the State of CRM report 2022, we discover interesting figures and interesting replies. In the survey, we discovered that 60% of marketers are surveying their customer, but only 39% of them are taking action in their strategy, taking this feedback in their strategy. And on the other end, the top marketers, the best in class, the top teams, 80% of them are surveying their consumer, but 6 out of 10 of these marketers are actually taking action from that. So all of that's to say that's the intention for the intent for every marketer, but not everyone is actually asking questions or surveying their consumer or listening to their consumer. And even though the one that are listening to that, that's not totally reflecting into the action and the strategies.
Yeah. And I think, that gap is really interesting. It's if marketers are going to go through the effort to collect all of this great information, like having it, but then not translating it into anything in terms of actually focusing on customer centricity is interesting. And I think, there's potentially a bunch of reasons for that. I'm guessing like time, bandwidth, and then the ability to do so, whether it's tech enabled or just simply like the resources that you have to deploy as a team, can be prohibitive. But if you are obviously listening to the customer, that's only halfway there. If you're not actioning it, then there's really no point to be doing it to begin with. And I think another challenge is, kind of related to that is also just understanding like what sort of signals and things that you want to actually ask your customer, because simply, finding out preferences for frequency or channels, things like that. I mean, these are if you're asking your customers, that's self-reported. So, how many emails do you want to receive a week? People are going to be more likely to say not that many, but that doesn't really give them any context into, really what those emails might contain. How many relevant emails do you want to receive per week? How many emails with products that you actually want to buy? Like, that's a different type of question. So I think it's also important for marketers to think about exactly what they're asking, and also the channel that they're asking it on as well. So is it a preference center? Is it a one-off market research survey where you're looking to delve more deeply into customers' perceptions of your brand, your product, and your marketing communications, things like that? So another thing to think about, and I think that marketers struggle a little bit with, is in terms of just like how to ask questions and the types of information that that they can receive from that to make it actionable. Because if you are going to refine and develop your marketing strategy, whether that's targeting or content or what have you, channel optimization, you need to have the right insights. And so it's important to think very strategically about the types of questions and what information you want to obtain. And I think that might also be part of why there's a gap between translating insight into strategy is marketers just simply might not be asking the right questions. And so when they get the information, they're not really sure what to do with it.
Yeah, and the voice of the consumer, listening to the consumer, there is listening. And if you ask the question and with a list of answers that are just three options, you are not really listening to what they have to say. That's you are asking your consumer, your customer to make a choice. And as you said, that's, I mean, really important part of it is what's the context. Because to come back on your point on the frequency, I mean, preference centers are my, I mean, that's my really go-to when we are talking about customer centricity. And I hear that marketer, they are listening to their consumer. They have a preference center. Okay, but preference center to know how many messages they want, the consumer wants to receive per week with only two or three choices. And again, in what context? I mean, what type of message are you sending? That, so basically you are asking them to answer a question if they want to receive 1, 2, 5, 10 messages per week that are based on the content you are pushing and not at all customer-centric from the beginning. If you are only blasting or sending mass campaign messages every week, why someone would ask to receive more? That's not bringing the voice of the voice of the consumer in your strategy. That's just getting some insights biased to say that you are doing something. And I know that the intent is never bad or to avoid the real question, but again, as you said, the implementation and how you ask the question really matters to get the real voice of the consumer in your strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then kind of like, I think like based on that, like a third big challenge that we'll dive a little bit more deeply into is essentially like how do you translate that? Like what are the strategic shifts you can make in terms of your strategy based on information that you've obtained? So based on the same survey, we asked the state of CRM research that we did, we asked marketers essentially what, in terms of tactics, results, and related to marketing, what are the things that they associate most closely with a customer-centric strategy? Top response, over 80% actually said segmentation. If you listen to our podcast, you kind of know some of our thoughts on segmentation in general, but being able to segment out campaigns, so that has implications for targeting the right audiences with the right messages. About 55% said personalized content, so focusing less on targeting, but more on sort of the actual content execution of the campaigns themselves. And then 42% actually said high conversion rate as being something that's associated with customer centricity, which is obviously a bit of a lower funnel metric, but I think actually is a fairly interesting one, even though fairly basic, because obviously people will be converting for things that they find to be relevant. So I think, you know, that is something like kind of going back to that gap that we started with, like I think marketers are just struggling a little bit in terms of like, okay, we have this information, we want to be customer centric, what's actually a tactic to deploy that that does get me there, that is customer-centric, that's going to build that goodwill and get that customer coming back and buying from me over and over again.
Yeah, and all this data that is coming in, that can give you clues and feedback on the intent and really what's your customer are expecting from the brand. But the issue we often see is marketing team collecting a ton of data and as feedback from customer, voice of the customer. The issue is that it's not only data points. That's how do you, as we already mentioned that, what do you do with that and how do you leverage this data? And sometimes there is no point to collecting them if you don't use it. And we know that today we are already collecting, I mean, every brand, every company is already collecting a lot of data points on their consumers. What's the percentage of that is really used to improve and to take action? Really, that's really small. And a good example is the output. That's a feedback. I mean, the opt-out of a message. And if you opt out from communication from a brand, this is a feedback that most or all brands are listening to and taking action from removing you from the list. So now some of them are asking questions to get more detail on why did you opt out. And again, the way to ask the question can or cannot provide really insights to improve in the future. Because if you are asking the customer if they opt out due to the number of messages that was too often, or the quality, because the content is not what I'm expecting. Okay, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
I mean, too often. Okay. Too often because the content was not relevant to me, or too often because I'm receiving 3 messages per day, and even if that's relevant, I don't want to receive them. What is relevant content to me, or what's that means? The question closed question can be really, really dangerous in a way that you will get answer, analyze that, take maybe action from that. But again, the way you ask the question is just bringing a bias in the answer. And for an opt out question or opt out field, maybe the best way to do that is to keep an open question and lets the customer just explain with their words why they are leaving the communication you are sending.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like opt-out's really interesting too, because I think it's a good example of how the interpretation of a response or of data can potentially lead you down the wrong path. Because, you know, like, and this goes back to sort of like what we hear related to unsubscribes as well, is, well, they're opting out or they're unsubscribing, so they must just not be interested in what we're selling, or they wouldn't buy from us anyway. So let them go. It's fine. We'll keep focusing on marketing to those who want to engage. But, you know, even like saying like offering an opt out, and even if you're asking out why, like even asking them why, it's still basically like, you know, you're basically saying like, okay, like this is the end all be all for you. But there's other things to think about when looking at opt outs, because like they may be opting out, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're opting out of wanting to do business with you or to buy from you forever. But essentially, that's what their action indicates, and that's what a lot of marketers take it as, is, okay, this person is just disengaged or actively wants to be disengaged. But the reality of it is you can actually, probably get more by asking if they'd like to opt down. You know, if are you sending out different newsletters, for example, and maybe there's certain ones that are relevant and certain ones that aren't, and that can help you understand if you're targeting the right types of content to the right folks, or maybe the frequency is too high. But even that, like thinking about frequency, like there's more than meets the eye there. It's not necessarily just the number of messages per week. It could be that the frequency is too high because what you're sending isn't relevant to them. So, I mean, it could be where if you created a better relevant experience with your content, the frequency could be higher and they might be okay with that. So, you know, even just saying like they're opting out, like therefore they're this just isn't working for them. There's a lot more under the hood you need to think about when looking at data. And I think like that's again why it's so difficult sometimes to translate insights into strategies. You need to be really, really mindful of what you're asking. And even if it's just simply like allowing someone to opt out, which legally you have to do, there are things that you can potentially capture or offer them alternatives where they're still engaged with you. But like it's not just simply opting out doesn't tell you much. So I think like, again, there's sort of like the types of insights that you're collecting and being able to translate that into strategy starts with being mindful at the data collection phase around what you actually want to find out.
Yeah, and that's looping back to what we discussed last week also on engagement. How do you measure the engagement of your consumer? And being customer-centric and looking at the engagement of the consumer, it's not looking at the engagement with one channel. That's the engagement of this consumer with your brand. And as you said, that's maybe another channel will be better for them. Maybe another frequency on another channel, or it's not because they are opt out of a channel that you can't see them doing business with you in the future and you need to forget about them or never think how do you offer, present, promote your offers, your product to them with other type of media and or channels. And that's really, again, putting the consumer in the center of the reflection of the strategy. It's not the strategy of one channel. You need to really think about around, I mean, starting from the consumer in the center and around that, then adding the bricks and the pieces of the different channels. And maybe one thing that we can come back on from what we said and we saw in the survey is the majority of marketers, when we talk about customer centricity, think or say that's the best way to be customer centric is to do segmentation.
Yeah.
And the issue with that is customer centricity is not necessarily correlated to segmentation. Segmentation is better than mass messaging for sure. Again, we talk about that. I mean, very very often on the podcast. But having a segment with a lot of people receiving the same message is not answering any individual needs or individual perception or desire of personalization or signal they will leave. That's, I mean, I will leave different data points to with a brand. You, Matt, will leave other data points, and maybe there are no reason that we are put together in the same segment because of just some attributes or demographic information about us.
Yeah.
It needs to be separated. I mean, the customer centricity, the voice of the consumer, needs to be integrated, and the answer is not segmentation. The segmentation, again, I mean, is good, it's not bad in terms of communication. But that's not the answer to be customer-centric and provide something that will change or include really the voice of your consumer, individual people in your communication plan.
Yeah. And I mean, like segmentation is so like we've talked a lot about it before, but it's, I mean, it's the reason that the marketers resort to it or focus so much on it is because you can do segmentation with limited amounts of data. So it's an easy, I'm not saying it's always easy, but it's easier to execute than to really like understand each individual customer, which, you know, we have lots of content about as well, but I think it's just like a really good example of a limited use of insights and data. And I think like, you know, it's interesting to me that kind of from the data perspective that like companies pour so much money into market research, understanding consumers in market, largely for acquisition, advertising purposes. But that sort of like diligence and science isn't really translated always into CRM. It's like, okay, well, we have a preference center. Maybe we'll ask a couple questions. Maybe we'll have a drop down and kind of bucket people that way or what have you. Or maybe we'll try to ask a few marketing research questions in that preference center. But I think you really need to think about as a CRM marketer, I think you need to put your market researcher hat on as well. And it's not just about like preference centers are designed to tell you very specific things about how customers want to be communicated to, what's working with your specific marketing campaigns and what isn't. They need to be short. They need to be, there's limited information that you can collect, although very important. And so I think like there's also thinking about other ways that you can get information from your customers and thinking about market surveys that are designed for your customer base specifically that have questions tailored towards their perceptions of your brand, their perceptions of your product, what they like, what they don't like, what they remember about your marketing campaigns, how they perceive the different messages that you've been sending out. Is it relevant? Is it not relevant? Things like that, you can get into a lot more depth. And like, obviously those are a lot more work in terms of actually like planning and building those surveys out, but they are really important. And that combined with preference centers can tell you a lot about how to optimize your strategy around sort of, again, like preference centers can tell you like what's specifically working from like a channel and content and frequency perspective. But that combined with those deeper insights can really help you understand more around like how you should design your marketing campaigns, like what the right media mix is that you should be using. And what is ultimately working and not, so that you can optimize that way. And then the last bucket is really like passive metrics that you're collecting every single day. Who's converting off of which campaigns, A/B testing, different content to find out what's resonating and what's not. And I think like going back to those statistics we were talking about earlier around like what is associated with a customer-centric strategy, 45% said conversions. And I think immediately people don't associate conversions with a measure of customer centricity. It's more like satisfaction metrics, retention, things like that. But ultimately, people are only going to buy things based on a campaign if that campaign is selling something that's relevant to them. So I think like also, you know, thinking about lower funnel metrics sort of combined with some of these other more attitudinal based data points that you're collecting, that starts to paint a 360 degree picture of what of consumer perceptions, but also consumer behavior as well as it relates to reacting to your campaigns.
Yeah, the implicit signal of how many pages, how many time they spend on your website, or how long this, how many articles they are buying in store or with you. I mean, the conversion rates, that's the conversion we are talking about converting as purchase, I mean, making a purchase, but there are a lot of other level in the funnel or the information that they are leaving you and you are not using, that's bring a lot more information and understanding of what they are expecting and being, that's a voice of a consumer, but the implicit voice of the consumer, where if someone is visiting your website and after a campaign, visit the category of the product you promoted, visits a lot of other product of the same category, spend time on our website, and then purchase. That's not telling you the same as someone who just click, visit one product page, and purchase it. So at the end, you have the same conversion rate. I mean, you have one order and one order, but the engagement, the time, that's tell you different things on the individual if they wanted to compare the product, read more on the description, I mean, technical aspect of the product. There are a lot of things that you can also get as an inside, I mean, and collect that are maybe more interesting to fine-tune the communication or improve the communication in the future. Maybe split the communication, as you were talking about A-B testing, but that can be really the same product but presented differently for different type of behavior on, in your consumer that you detected. And there are a lot of things that you can apply, a better strategy, a better way of communicating. And if you do that, maybe the answer on the preference center say how many messages you want to receive per week might change because you are more relevant to what they are expecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, again, even thinking about phrasing that question a little bit differently around like if you were to receive like only things that you were relevant to, like how many campaigns per week, things like that. Like there's ways you could word it that you could probably get a better idea of whether or not somebody just simply doesn't want to be communicated to or does. Like that's just like it's two large groups of people and doesn't provide you a ton of insight. And I think the point you made around purchase journey is interesting as well in terms of like, you know, there is no one path to purchase anymore, especially digitally. So being able to understand each individual's signals, what they're telling you, that can give you a lot of information around what's relevant for them and what you should be sending them in the future. Like to your point, what they visited in terms of product pages or which channels they converted through, all of that. But it's different for everyone. I think the approach a lot of marketers take is, well, okay, this seems to be on average the most effective path to purchase. Like, let's try to funnel them this way. But that's just, it's not how it works. And I think, like, to your point, Ben, like, that's exactly where listening to customers, observing their behavior as well, both of those two things can really help you, optimize your strategy from a content perspective, from a targeting perspective, from an elevating, customer lifetime value perspective, and also just, even things like getting the most out of your loyalty program, which is something that we hear all the time, like buckets of high value customers, people that are supposedly hyper engaged, showing actually very little lift relative to the rest of your customer database. So that's a conversation potentially for another day, but I think a really good illustration of exactly how data can be used and sometimes doesn't always yield the results you want.
Yeah. To summarize what we were saying, Matt, maybe the most important thing is listening to the consumer. The voice of the customer is super important, but in listening to someone, there is a big emphasis on listen listen with an open mind. I mean, not trying to get just replies to a question in a box, but really open your mind and being open to any replies and listening to that before taking action.
Wise words.
That's the end for today. Talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.